Tonight's very special because we've got a special preacher for you tonight. Dot is my wife. She's a mother, and she's a woman who hears God, and she has a deep understanding of the Word and of the truth. And I'm so delighted that she can come and minister to us tonight. Let's welcome Dot.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you guys so much. That was incredible. I just had such a sense. This is quite echoey. I had such a sense that we were flowing in the river tonight. And there were some people kind of playing on the edge, playing around. And I just felt the Lord saying, There's deeper places to go. And I think we were beginning to get there. And as a people, we're beginning to get more and more into the river because, you know, God's placed a river on the inside of us, which is His beautiful Holy Spirit. And He said, you know, that those who believe, from them will flow rivers of living water. And then that is amazing because that throne, that river comes from the throne of God, right from His heart, through us, and hopefully into the world around us. And I'm just excited. I'm just so excited. I just wanted to continue really with where Les left off last week, because that was a great word, wasn't it? He really stirred our faith. And I, you know, I'm just conscious all the time that we're in such a battle for our faith that, you know, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. It's a real fight we're in. I'm sure you're all aware of that. You know, in my mind, the enemy attacks me all the time. And I'm sure you experience that. Don't all look innocent, like, but it's true. And so the enemy is always trying to undermine our faith. And to me, I was saying to somebody the other day, it's like plaque on the teeth, unbelief. Unbelief is a terrible thing. God hates it. God really hates it. Lolly, it's great to see you. But unbelief is like plaque on the teeth. We need to floss every day. If you don't floss your teeth every day, you get bad breath. And it undermines the roots of your teeth. And I believe that God is encouraging us today and saying, you know, stir your faith. Fight the good fight of faith. And I've got loads of notes, and I'm just, Holy Spirit, will you just take us where you want us to go tonight? There's so much in my mind and in my heart, but God, Holy Spirit, you just take control, please. Just lead us. You've already started, and I know you've got specific things for specific people tonight. And so, God, I just yield myself to you, yield my mouth to you, yield my emotions to you. Yield my body to you, yield my mind to you. And God, I pray that your word tonight would be incisive and sharp like that two-edged sword. I pray, Lord God, that your word tonight would discern, cut between soul and spirit in our hearts, God. We just ask you to do a work in our hearts, God. We thank you that you've promised that your word never returns empty. It always accomplishes that, and I'm just taking that promise right now. And Holy Spirit, we just ask you to please blow a supernatural breeze in here tonight for these poor, hot people, Lord God. We ask you, you can do it. You know, Jesus said that it's actually good for us that he went away. I mean, he told the disciples that, and they didn't know what he was talking about. But he said in John 14, 12, 13, and 14, which is going to be on the screen in about a second or two. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Remember what he did? Raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, preach the gospel. Amazing. He will do even greater things. So we'll be doing what Jesus did, but even greater things. That's his promise to us. And because I'm going to the Father, and you know, that I don't know how you feel, but that verse, that promise of God really frustrates me. Does it frustrate you? I mean, we haven't seen it yet, apart from Heidi Baker, who has seen hundreds of people raised from the dead. We're not seeing it here in London. And so I want to encourage us tonight and say that in this fight of faith that we're in, we need to be active and proactive. And, you know, we've got an enemy who is continually, as we were saying, trying to undermine our faith. But more than that, he is lying to us all the time. And right now, I am conscious that some of you are believing lies. And you know what the lies do? They actually quench the spirit on the inside of us. They, you know, this river of life within us, I think it's the lies that kind of clog up the river on the inside of us. It's the lies that we believe that clog up the life of the river, the Holy Spirit within us. And what happens is that it becomes this kind of pathetic little stream flowing out of us. And, you know, we live in a world that's really totally anti-God. We know that. You read the newspapers. We are in this fight of faith. And, you know, the other thing, so that's one of the things, is that the enemy lies to us. He is probably filling your head with lies right now, telling you that this is boring. And it's not. The enemy probably, when you come to spend time with God, probably whispers in your ear, what's this going to accomplish? And you really, I don't know if some of you struggle with what I've often struggled with. When you come into the presence of God or come to meet with God every day, you're kind of repenting straight away. Like you just know that there's stuff that you've done, you've failed, you haven't worshipped enough, you haven't prayed enough. It's all lies. Because the Lord says, the work of God, which is in John 6, I think, John 6, 28 and 29, the people asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Isn't it funny that we're always doing, like Martha, you know? We want to do something. That's why we love law. We actually love law. We love regulations. We love people to tell us how to worship. We love to have the songs that we know that we sing. We love to read the word like a, you know, like an automaton. That's just the way we are as human beings. And so we really struggle with the freedom of the Spirit, don't we? And so the enemy is always trying to make us feel that we're not measuring up. But all Jesus is saying is, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he sent. So guess why the enemy guns after our faith, why he tries to choke our faith, why he tries to undermine it? Because he knows that all we need to do is believe to begin to see the things that Jesus promised beyond what Jesus did. So our faith is the only way to please God. Our faith is access, the key to everything in God. And that's why he goes after it. And the other thing that the enemy does is Galatians 3:2, which is an amazing scripture. Paul says this to the Galatians, great church, live church. I'd like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? We get so easily back into law, you know. Okay, we have an encounter with God. Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry, I haven't been praying enough. So I promise from this Monday, I'm going to be up at 5. And I'm going to pray for an hour. And then I'm going to read the word for an hour. And then I'll go to work. And, you know, and so back into law again. And I'm not saying that Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't, you know, but it's all completely different when we're flowing in the Spirit. Because when we're flowing in the Spirit and we're not observing the law, the Holy Spirit gets hold of our hearts. And we will be doing greater things than these because we're led by the Spirit, not because we're trying to perform. Isn't that why the only way that Christianity is different to every other religion in the world? Every other religion is man trying to please God. Only in Christianity, and we've got this great news, and they don't even know it out there. Those guys, they think that we are under law. They are under law. They are under the law of this world, the standards of this world. They are under the prince of darkness of this world, telling them what to do, getting them addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, addicted to pleasure, whatever. That's, you know, they're under law. You know, I just wanted to share a quick bit of a testimony because I was sharing with these guys tonight that I got saved 42 years ago in October at a church up the road called All Souls. And it was a miracle, you know, because I'm a South African and I was a bit of a naughty girl and I was rebelling against a religion, actually, because I was brought up in a religious environment where we were trying to fulfill the law. Oh, I should be a lot more mature than I am. So there I was in London, very angry against apartheid, very angry with the South African government. I came here as this sort of hippie, smoking dope, alcohol, cigarettes, you know, all of it, and hitchhiking around Europe. And actually trying to find myself, trying to find, I didn't know it, but I was trying to find God. And you know, to me, it takes much greater faith to be an atheist than to be a believer because, you know, these crazy intellectuals believe, I mean, I just laugh at them sometimes on the TV, you know, they sound so knowledgeable, and they believe that it all came about through atoms exploding. Who created the first atoms? You know, we don't have to sit on our intellects to be a Christian. God is behind all science. He knows it all. I mean, we've been trying to discover for the last thousands of years all about God, and we still don't know anything. So anyway, so I was hitchhiking around, but I just felt this emptiness on the inside. Do you know what I mean? Some of you experienced that. Somebody said there's a God-shaped gap inside all of us. And only God can fill that. And so I got back to London after this crazy summer of hitchhiking around and having fun and feeling empty and emptier and emptier. And I met some born-again Christians, and I was very allergic to born-again Christians because I thought, at university we called them God Squad because they were just the most boring people. They just looked as though they were sucking lemons, you know those kind. They always looked down at us, judgmental. They definitely weren't full of joy. Anyway, I met these people, and I went to All Souls one Sunday night, the 22nd of October, 1972. Some of you definitely weren't born anywhere near then. What a good year. Well done, Trace. And I heard the gospel. Probably for the first time, I heard that I needed to be born again, not just going to church and all that stuff. I went home that night, and I was living in Archway, I think near where Annie is. And it was a crummy little flat, and I was sharing with a horrible girl. And I got on my knees, and I said, God, if you are there, if you reveal yourself to me, I'll give you my life. And if you deliver me from smoking, and I, apart from, you know, cannabis, I was smoking about 30, 40 cigarettes a day. And I put my cigarettes down the loo, and I never touched another one. Amen. And I woke up the following morning, and it really was like one of those before and after ads, you know? Before and after. But I, seriously, God came into my life. And that's what I want to say to you, is that when you were born again, the Holy Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you in the space that only He can fill. You know, sometimes we try to fill that space with relationships. That's what the world are trying to do. Relationships or drugs or booze or a career or study or intellectualism or whatever. But it's a gap that only God can fill. And so he came and filled it. And I'm not going to tell you my whole story because it was 42 years ago. It would take a long time. But it was the most amazing thing to discover God and to begin to walk in the destiny that he had for me. Because before that, I just felt, well, life's meaningless. You know, what do? You study, you get a career, you get married, you die, we'll have some children, die. What's it all about? I mean, I think a lot of people out there are thinking that, aren't they? They really are looking for answers, and we've got them, guys. So, but what I wanted to say is that all of you have got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And I've been really challenged over the last couple of weeks with a particular scripture, which is 2 Timothy. And it's Paul writing to his dear friend, Timothy, his son, really, in the faith. And he says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of self-discipline. Shall I read it again? I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. So, I think Paul said that to Timothy because Timothy is probably feeling like some of us do. Kind of discouraged, fearful, listening to the voice of the enemy who is always, always lying to us, telling us that God's not good, telling us that we haven't done enough, telling us that we haven't prayed enough, telling us that we're a failure to God, that God actually disapproves of us, that the future is terrible, that God won't provide for us. Are you aware of this? All these lies coming at you all the time. The plaque and the teeth. Do you remember flossing with the word? And for this reason, because of your faith, which at the moment, Timothy, is a little bit small. You know, like some of us when the river becomes a little stream or a trickling little stream. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. And you were talking about it tonight, and Les was praying that God would begin to stir our hearts. The gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Imagine having Paul laying his hands on you. I mean, that must have been awesome. Talk about anointing. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound, and a self-discipline. So I want to say to you, just put your hand on your belly right now. That's where it comes from. That's where the Holy Spirit is. You crazy manifestors, that's where you feel it, don't you? Yes? The rest of us, there's a river. There's a flood on the inside of you. That spirit on the inside of you is power. Power in the Holy Spirit. Love in the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He is the spirit of faith on the inside of you. Isn't that incredible? The spirit of faith is on the inside of you. The spirit of wisdom is on the inside of you. Just feel him. So how do we do this, guys? How do we fan into flame this gift on the inside of us? And this is a question. Anybody got any ideas? Yeah, I agree with you. Spending time with the Holy Spirit and in the Word. We began to do it a bit tonight. Because we weren't just singing songs tonight, right? We were engaging with the Holy Spirit. Mikey was challenging us not to just wait for the musicians to come up with another song. But he was challenging us to begin to hear the Holy Spirit ourselves. So any of you at any time could have been stirring up the gift which is in you, which are words of knowledge, prophecy, teaching, gifts. We're all full of gifts, guys. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit saying, come on, start, you do it. You know, in the Old Testament, a scripture that Les has been living with for a few days is in Haggai, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord stirred the people's hearts to work, to build the wall, to build the temple. And that was the Old Testament, and I believe God still does that when we ask him. But he's actually saying to us, come on, you guys, you have the Spirit on the inside of you. You can leave it as a little trickle and be timid and fearful and listening to the voice of the enemy. Or you can start to stir your spirit man. You can start to stir your spirit man and begin to believe that God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Ha! Are you excited? Any sleepers, wake up. Woo! Wake up. Awaken your spirit now. Awaken, awaken, awaken. I remember I was in Kenya once and I was preaching there with these women. I was awful, actually. And one of them was sleeping, so I went up to her and I grabbed her little face and I said, woo! And she got such a fright, she never went to sleep again, you know. But I think the Holy Spirit was just breathing life into her. You know, so he wants to breathe in you, even though it's hot night, just forget the heat, just focus on the river on the inside of you. And I think that's one of the ways we stir this river on the inside of us, is becoming aware of who we have on the inside of us. You know, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is not a gas. He's not an it. He's a person with a personality. Now, we don't know what he looks like, but in the scripture, he's described as fire, wind, the river, rain. He's described as glory, light. There's so many descriptions of Holy Spirit in the Word. And that person is on the inside of you. And you can have a relationship with him. Isn't that incredible? And I think, you know, I think some of us just ignore him most of the time. I think he's the most ignored person in the church, actually. Seriously. I mean, we just sort of acknowledge him, but most of the time we do focus on Jesus, which is great, and we focus on the Father. But the Holy Spirit, he's our friend, he's our companion, he's our helper, he's our, you know, no wonder we can't have a relationship with God without the Holy Spirit. He makes it all possible. Otherwise, we'd still be in the Old Testament. He makes it all possible. He is stirring us to love him more and to have a relationship with him. So how do you have a relationship with anyone? Tracy, how do you have a relationship with anyone? Spend time. Yeah? Spend time together. And not in law. You know, not like, okay, every morning I'm awake at 5. I mean, I'm not against discipline, guys. It's amazing to be disciplined. But, you know, we can get so easily caught up into works rather than listening to the Holy Spirit, allowing him to wake us up with the right time, allowing him to show us where to read. Amen. I mean, again, there's nothing wrong with going through the scriptures, but allowing him. Colin Urquhart said an amazing thing. Where did he say it? I wrote it down. He said, all scripture becomes God's voice to us when we read it with the Holy Spirit, amen, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? So all scripture, so this whole Bible is full of living word. But you know, some people can read it. If you read it without the Holy Spirit, it can be. I mean, it is a living word, but without the Holy Spirit, it's like ink on paper. It doesn't mean a thing. So you can read it cover to cover and not know God, because we need to encounter Jesus in the pages of Scripture. And that doesn't mean that you know, it has to become a big religious thing. It's just Holy Spirit, breathe on the word today. I don't know what it means. It's hard to understand. Lord, show me what it means. And whether that's one verse or whether it's a chapter, encounter Jesus in the pages of the Scripture, because that is the only thing, it's the truth that gets rid of every lie that you believe, that I believe. I still struggle Because, you know, our daughter Jo says that we grew up with terrible theology. She said it's 80s theology, and I'm not quite sure what it is, but I think it's that we've got to work hard to please God. And that's just actually, you know, what the Galatians struggled with. Everybody struggles with. But what the Lord is wanting to do is to deal with every lie. So tomorrow, maybe you don't get together with God on Saturday. But I mean, you know, what he wants is a living relationship with us where we're just talking to him all the time. Where we're just walking along the road, we're talking to him, we listen, you know, in the Word, we find him in the Word. We allow the Holy Spirit to ignite the Word in our hearts. There's a great prayer. I'm sure you all pray it regularly in the beginning of Ephesians where it says, Paul says, I keep asking that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will, that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you can know God. Because we can't know God without the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And then he says, and I pray that God will enlighten the eyes of your heart so that you'll know him. So that we'll know the hope to which he's called you, which is in here, and his incredible power in us who believe. We'll never believe that we have this incredible explosion of power on the inside of us without the Holy Spirit showing us. And so what I want to encourage you guys is that God has given each of us a beautiful, beautiful gift. And that is called the gift of tongues. And if any of you haven't received it, wait afterwards. Les has a particular anointing for that, and we'll pray for you. But you need this gift. And not only, and I felt like the Holy Spirit showed me today that when I was praying that some of you received this gift at some point, maybe 20 years ago, maybe 2 years ago, whenever, and you just said, thanks, Lord. And I felt it was like somebody opening a Christmas present and saying, I don't really like that. And just, you know, hiding it from the person who gave it to them, but putting it on the shelf and it gathering dust. And I felt like that's what some of us do with tongues because we're not quite comfortable with it. It's weird. It's anti-intellectual. It goes completely against the spirit of this age, which we are affected by. But it's God's special, powerful gift for his body. And Paul says he speaks in tongues more than anybody. And if Paul needed to do it, I need to do it. And in Jude's this crazy little book. Do you know where it is? It's right just before Revelation. It's so short. And it's only got a few verses, but one of them is, but you, dear friends, and this is my encouragement to you tonight, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. And I know that praying in the Holy Spirit isn't only praying in tongues, but it very much does include praying in tongues. And if you have a problem with tongues, come and chat to us. Because, you know, it's amazing that this particular gift has caused so much contention in the church. The enemy hates it. He hates it when you do it. That's why he whispers in your ear, this is a load of garbage. What on earth are you doing? This is so ridiculous. Doesn't he do that? Well, I remember when I received this gift, also hundreds of years ago, I was so disappointed. I thought that God was just going to come and kind of take over my tongue and do something crazy supernatural. And that's what I wanted because I'd heard all these testimonies of people who did experience that. One of my friends, she was a rag queen at university, beautiful girl. She didn't know God. Before she even knew God, he came and revealed himself to her by giving her tongues. She didn't even know that it existed. So that was definitely not, what do you call it? Premeditated or psychosomatic. You know the word I mean. That we, come on, Tim, you're so bright. Well, no, we think that we make it happen ourselves. Auto-suggestion, thank you. So it wasn't any of those things for this Wendy. She just received this gift. So I was so jealous. And I was asking, and I, you know what I did? I did a 40-day fast. Because I thought, because I'm coming from the earning mentality, you know, the 80s theology. I had to earn this gift, sorted out my life. I mean, because I was such a bad person, I stole and all sorts of things before I got saved. I almost had to write to the South African government and ask them to forgive me for my anger and hatred towards them, you know. I sent back money to people that I had stolen from. I mean, I had the most amazing 40 days of cleaning myself out, and then I said, okay, I'm ready. And you know what? That is such a load of garbage, because it's a free gift. And I think that's why I've struggled with that lie ever since, that I've got to work for God's pleasure, you know, for God's approval. Anyway, but I was so disappointed, because these people, and they were great people, and they laid hands on me and they said, receive the Holy Spirit, and nothing happened. And then they said, now come on, by faith, just start to speak out words. And I thought, this is a load of rubbish. I was so disappointed. And then finally, the Lord took me on a journey and showed me that even if it didn't seem supernatural, it becomes supernatural when I do it by faith. And sometimes, for some of us, you know, some people have visions. I've never had a vision in my life. I don't think it's fair. I'm going to speak to Jesus when I get to glory one day. I mean, what's so good about them? Why couldn't I have a vision? You know, I haven't had many supernatural experiences, but I'm hanging in there because I'm going to have them. And, you know, some of us, Jesus said, blessed are you. I think you mentioned the scripture, Les. Blessed are you who believe without seeing him. So we are more blessed than those who have seen him, who actually walked with him, who have had visions, you know, crazy prophetic utterances and all of that. We are blessed because by faith we are walking with him. And so I want to encourage you guys, this river on the inside, am I going on too long, Leslie? Keep stirring. Keep praying in tongues. It builds, you know what it does? It builds your faith. That's what it says. It builds your faith. It builds your spirit. It builds your... Because, you know, our intellects are so strong, our minds are so strong, and they're so full of rubbish. You know, all the negative, the lies and all of that. We've got to fight it with something. And when we build our spirit, man, it becomes stronger than our soul life. Do you know? Yeah? Thank you for your encouragement. You're great.
Amen.
So... Have I? Yeah, just let's just focus on him right now. God, I just believe there are people here tonight who've been believing lies for a long time. And Holy Spirit, we just ask you to bring to our minds. Holy Spirit, you are here. You're here. Your presence is so amazing. You are here. You're the living word. I ask you to bring to our minds the chief lie that we've been believing. When that thought comes, you have the ability, the power within you to ask God to forgive you for believing a lie. And then to renounce it. Just do it right now in your own heart. Just do it. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to do it out loud so you know what I'm saying. Jesus, I just thank you that I don't have to earn your approval. And I ask you to forgive me for believing that lie. And right now, I renounce that lie and I declare the truth that you love me, that I was saved by faith, not by works. I thank you, Jesus. I hope you've done that. Just ask the Holy Spirit if he doesn't, to give you a word, the word of God, that actually confounds the lie. That's what Jesus did in the wilderness when he was tempted by the enemy. He came back with the truth. And God, I pray that you would quicken rhema words for people tonight. Words that are going to change their lives. Set them free. Jesus. Let's just gently start to just engage your spirit, activate your spirit by praying in tongues. You don't have to do it madly, loudly, or with emotion or anything. Just start to stir your spirit by praying in tongues. God, cause the river, cause the little streams, Lord God, cause them to begin to flow through us, God. You know, I really want to encourage you to that it doesn't just happen, you know, it doesn't just praying in tongues, because we're dealing with demonic stuff, we're dealing with all sorts of things. It has to be a real active thing. Sometimes I only get a breakthrough after praying in tongues for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. It's exercising your spirit like you'd go to the gym. We would go to the gym, we would give, you know, an hour to go to the gym to get our bodies sorted, but we wouldn't pray in tongues for an hour. But I tell you, I challenge you to do that. Yeah. Not again by automatic pilot or by law, but do it by faith, engaging your spirit with the Spirit of God, allowing Him to start to speak His word in your life, He'll start to give you people to pray for. So do you want to rise up and stand and Just start to stir again your spirit. Start to release. Oh, faith is beginning to rise up. We ask you, Spirit of faith, will you come? Will you come upon us as a company of people? Spirit of faith, will you rise up on the inside of us? God, we want more. We don't want to be on the edge of the river, God. We want to be right in the midst of the river. We want to be out of our depth, God. We want to be completely dependent on you, Holy Spirit. Where your spirit is just taking us, where the river is just taking us. Now start to sing in the spirit. She did over here.